listening to KRUU LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. Welcome to Writers' Voices with Monica and Caroline on this sunny Fairfield day at our sun-powered community grassroots radio station.
79 degrees, fantastic. Low humidity, yes, yes. This is the way it should be.
This is the day that we look forward to all year.
You're right.
All summer.
Right. Enjoy, everybody, please.
Well, this is Writers' Voices, and I'm your host, Monica Hadley, and with me today is my mother and co-host, Caroline Kilborn.
And
what do we have in store today?
You heard what kind of day I'm having. So today we have with us Linda Agnes, and she is the author of over 400 articles and two other books on Maharishi
Ayurveda.
She is an adjunct associate professor of writing at Maharishi University of Management in Fairfield, where she lives with her husband, Tom. And this book is called Super Healthy Kids, A Parent's Guide to Maharishi Ayurveda. And it is extremely interesting. It really
is. And it's co-written with Dr.
Kumita Reddy.
Kumita Reddy.
MD.
Well, welcome to Writers' Voices again, Linda.
Oh, well, thank you, Monica and Caroline.
Great to have you back.
This book includes a lot of things that are just common sense, but you know, in today's world, common sense is not common anymore.
I would say that's true. Like if you look at traditional cultures, you know, they would think that most of what we're saying in this book is kind of along the lines of what they do on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But you look at modern lifestyles with, you know, our kind of very fast-paced, stressed kind of lifestyles where even it may be even uncommon even to have a family meal, to sit down together as a family, let alone eat, you know, a balanced meal together. Home-cooked foods, I mean, that just would, you know, and for many families in America, that's just not happening anymore.
That's right.
So this book is, in a way, just going back to those basics of, you know, that traditional cultures everywhere have known.
Well, Linda, why did you decide to write this book?
Well, actually, at the time that I wrote it, about 10 years ago, I was collaborating on quite a few books with Dr. Kumita Reddy. And Dr. Reddy is a Maharishi Ayurveda practitioner. She's also a medical doctor. And she practiced in the United States for over 25 years. She also taught at New York State University in Albany. And she became a Maharishi Ayurveda doctor, you know, took the training and became certified and started practicing back in the 90s. And she was one of the few people in America who were able to just build her whole practice around that. She was very devoted to just practicing Maharishi Ayurveda. And has helped a lot of people that way, had a very successful practice. She had this vision to write these books. It was really for her inspiration. And then she asked me to write three of them. And she has other co-authors who worked with her on other books. She really has about, I don't know, seven or eight out already, and many more in the works. She has a big vision. So anyway, I wrote this one, but before that also the Blissful Baby book. So this was kind of one that followed after that, the Blissful Baby book. Was for the age of zero to, you know, prenatal to age one. And then this one picks up at age one through about 13, 14, like that. So it was a natural extension, and it was such a wonderful topic to write about. It was so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you wrote this 10 years ago, did you say?
Yes, really.
Is this a re-release then?
Well, no, it's not. No, this is the first time it's come out. We just had trouble finding the right publisher. We, you know, we're trying to get it published by two different small presses during the 2000s, but that was when publishing industry was going through a lot of turmoil. Both those presses started to have monetary problems after they accepted the book for publication, and so then, you know, it just didn't happen. But now it seems like, you know, maybe it's turned out to be just exactly right, because now Maharishi University of Management Press has picked it up, which is just such a great honor to be part of their press and to have them in, you know, behind the book and endorsing the book. And so, and they did a beautiful job printing it. It looks very beautiful. So I'm very happy with everything that happened.
Now, yeah, did they
things
publish?
Work out for the best, don't they?
Yes, this is true. This is true. We have to remember that when we're in the 9 or 10 years when it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have faith.
Yeah. How did you maintain the motivation to keep working, keep trying?
Well, we didn't really. We just kind of let it go, let it kind of be shelved for a little while. And then, you know, after a few years, we'd have another idea how to do it, and then we'd kind of perk it up again. So this time, though, you know, MUM said they wanted to publish it, and so then it took a year in production to bring it to fruition. And you know, because of that, because it was ready for publication literally 3 times, you know, camera ready each time. It really each time it was really improved. And you know, because you go over it, and you know, and I was like, wow, did I really think this was ready? You know, and really rewrote sections and updated it, of course, because from 10 years ago it was needed some updating. And it went through a lot of editing. Many talented people from our community helped edit it and helped with the production, and I'm very grateful to every one of them.
Now, how does MUM Press decide, what are their criteria for publishing a book?
Well, I think it has to fit in their line of, you know, their mission, which is to bring the knowledge of Maharishi Ayurveda and also all of Maharishi's programs, the Transcendental Meditation Program, all of those programs to the public. And so this fit in that within that mission.
Now, did they publish the Blissful Baby book?
No, that one, at that time, Kumada was actually doing her own books, but they did distribute. They do distribute it. So if you go to www.mumpress.com, you can order the Blissful Baby book or the Super Healthy Kids book.
And also from Mappy's website?
Yes, also at www.mappy.com, which is Maharishi Ayurveda Products International. They also are endorsing the book and distributing it. So that's and at their health and wholeness store downtown, it's available, and also at the MUM bookstore on campus.
But it'll probably get much wider distribution than just locally.
Well, sure. We really hope for that because, you know, this book is really universal. This contains universal knowledge. The knowledge of Maharishi Ayurveda is really the oldest known healthcare system in the world. It's the traditional system of medicine from India and originated in India. But the principles are universal. So, say, you're anywhere in the world, you can practice it. And really, it's the same principles that are at the basis of traditional medicine everywhere. And so it really outlines that. And so it's something that can be applied now, anytime, in modern times. And especially we need it in modern times, I think, because of the techniques for stress management that are included in Maharishi Ayurveda. And the techniques for protecting the senses, for diet. There's 4 chapters on diet in this book. That was Kumada's inspiration. She really said food is the basis, you know, because food is medicine, as we all know. What we eat, you are what you eat, as they say. And so she wanted to have 4 chapters on that. So it's very clear, you know, the principles are very clearly delineated, something that everyone can learn from.
Well, there's more interest in foods and diet than there ever has been before.
That's right. And there's also more confusion about food and diet than there ever has been before.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things that Maharishi Ayurveda brings to the table is it talks about the uniqueness of each person, each child. Each child is unique. You may have 3 children in your family, and you may know one of them may be very, you know, fiery, or you know, have more like a very decisive temperament, be a leader, and also maybe has problems with anger management or something. Whereas another child might be more nervous and might have more trouble with shyness. And they may have more of what we call a vata personality in Ayurveda. There's the 3 doshas, vata, pitta, kapha. Each one has a different personality, and then there's a combination of those 3. So there's really many different kinds of mind-body types. And this book helps you figure out that for your child, and then helps you figure out the foods that are really best for that individual child. And so that's why I think Maharishi Ayurveda really is amazing, because it doesn't take a blanket prescription for everyone.
Right, because everyone is different.
Yes. And that, of course, can present problems for the mother who has to put a meal on the table.
I was going to say, that takes some doing, doesn't it?
Yeah, so the book also tells how to do that, how to tailor the food for each child, but at the same time follow basic principles that are for everyone and to make it easy on yourself. The book really does tell how to prepare simple meals that are also very nutritional and are right for your children.
So do you actually have recipes?
Yes, we have some recipes which were prepared by Bonita Carroll from our community. And so there's recipes for the ones we included in the book, because it's not really just a recipe book, so we had limited space for the recipes. Were ones for like making fun foods for kids, like say if they wanted to, you know, just to help them stay away from the junk foods, to make those kind of foods only healthy, like how to make French fries that are baked instead of fried.
I saw that recipe.
How to make an Ayurvedic pizza, things like that. So that it's just taking the same foods that the children are seeing in their culture around them, but making it more healthy, and because kids need to have fun foods, of course, and they want to be like their peers.
I used to make baked fries for my kids, and they love them.
Yeah, they're very tasty.
And they're much easier.
Yeah, they are a lot easier than frying them up, for sure.
And much better than the frozen French fries. You could bake frozen French fries, but they aren't...
Right.
They still have the oil in them.
Exactly. The emphasis in this book is on fresh foods, and it really talks about why that's so important, because food is... It really has vitality. It has, it has life, and if the food is packaged or frozen or canned or left over even, that vitality is gone, and it becomes very difficult to digest and actually can create toxins in the body that can lead to disease. So in Marshi Ayurveda, the whole emphasis is on fresh foods, and so that's why it's so important that, you know, the day be structured in a way that the child has at least one meal of fresh foods a day.
Is there something in particular that sparked your interest in Ayurveda?
Well, I think that for me, living in this community, I was exposed to it probably starting in the early 80s and then mainly in the mid 80s when it came here to Fairfield and a clinic was opened here in town. And I think for me, I just started having such good results from it right from the start. And, just the daily routine for me was like such a revelation. I guess because I am more of a Vata type of individual, maybe I speak too fast or I tend to have too many thoughts or just my mind's always going a mile a minute. But to do the daily routine, the Ayurvedic daily routine, which really tells you the optimum times to do everything according to the cycles of the sun, according to the cycles of the sun, of the earth traveling around the sun and creating optimum times for, like, sort of, if we follow more the cycles of nature itself, like we know that the birds, they tend to settle down at night and go to bed, and all the animals, unless they're nocturnal animals, but anyway, most animals just settle down at night naturally. And so, and if you kind of can go to bed during that wave, like when all of nature is settling down, when there's this heavier, quieter feeling, then your sleep is much deeper. And then you wake up early and in the bright kind of energetic time of day before 6 a.m., and then you have that kind of energy all day. So there's like little clues like that, how to optimize your sleep, or for instance, and how to have a regular routine, doing things at the same time every day, waking up at the
same time, etc. They suggest about 10 o'clock is the time when before you should get before 10, you should try to be getting bed, right?
Right. Exactly. Uh-huh. And that's exactly right. So, these kind of things really have helped me in my life. And also for instance, I don't really get sick anymore. I don't get a cold. And I had a lot of colds before I started practicing Marshi Ayurveda for myself. I was actually having a round of bronchitis every year. I'd have terrible 2-3 months of it where I was really incapacitated. And I was helped with all the therapies of Marshi Ayurveda. And now I can really say I've not had a cold since I can remember. And or maybe I did like 2 years ago, but it was so short. It was like 2 days instead of like 3 months. So you see, it's helped me so much. And so I'm inspired to share this knowledge with other people.
Mm-hmm. And how did you become affiliated with Dr. Reddy?
Well, she called me up somehow. I don't know. I was writing, I've been writing about Marshi Ayurveda actually since 1986 or so when I became a professional writer. It was something I was really interested in right from the start. And I started writing for Marshi Ayurveda products. It was an earlier version of that, and also the clinic here that was in Fairfield. I started writing promotional materials for them, worked with Lori Slusser on brochures and different things, and then that morphed into websites later on. It's just been something that has been part of my career since 85. And so I've done a lot of articles, and also for magazines, too, for the popular press. And so it's just been something that's been a great interest of mine, and it has kind of that I've been very successful at. So I knew a lot of knowledge. She had heard of you somehow.
Right.
So she contacted me, and I said, great, I really would love to write a book with you. So it's been a great partnership.
And does she live near here? Or
well, actually, right now, she did live in on the East Coast, but now she and her husband have retired to India, where they're working with the Marshi Ayurveda organization there, setting up a clinic there. And she comes to the United States and still has practices here in the U.S. For a few months of the year, and she was just here in Fairfield even in June. So so we get to see each other sometimes, and hopefully she'll be coming this fall to help promote the book.
And are you planning on any more books with her?
Well, I have one more manuscript that from 10 years ago that also got kind of stuck in the bottleneck, and that's a retelling of the Ramayana. It's different from these Ayurveda books. But with Kumita Reddy, my husband and I had done a book called All Love Flows to the Self, Eternal Stories from the Upanishads, and it was a retelling of stories from the Upanishads, which are traditional stories from India, spiritual stories from India. So we had done that, and then 10 years ago, when I was doing all these other books with Kumita, we also did together a retelling of the Ramayana, which is the story of Rama, and the most famous epic of India. So one of the most famous epics of India. So that one is still, it's being edited right now. And I think actually it's going to come out pretty soon too. Maybe self-published. I'm not sure. We haven't figured that out. But it seems like it's the time for these older manuscripts to be finished. But then I think I have other plans to go ahead with some other projects.
Well, you're certainly versatile, and that's great.
Right. Because the last time you were here, we were talking about visits with the Amish.
That's right.
That book is a completely different book.
Although, you know, I've tried to think of, it's true, I feel like sometimes that my writing is kind of scattered all over the place. But I did sort of realize in recent years that there is some common basis, and that is, I think, they're all about health and healthy lifestyles, and also traditional lifestyles, and also green, like for instance with the Amish, you know, going green, being more ecological and balanced that way. Because with the Amish, I've realized that, you know, there's a lot they have to offer to tell us about how to go green, because they live completely off the grid. So I was just creating my own website a year ago, and it's at www.lindaeganis.com. And I was trying to think, what is the common theme in my writing? And I came up with green and healthy. And so the subtitle for my website is Green and Healthy Inside Out. And so I think there is some common base there, because all of these, it's writing about traditional knowledge going back in time in some ways, like to the ancient knowledge of Ayurveda, or to this more traditional culture of the Amish, to see how they live and what we can learn from that.
Cool. I was just reading where the Amish themselves are moving westward even further, because land is so expensive, and so they're going, you know, westward.
Yes,
northwest and so forth.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And we have a new community near us now in Salinas. I mean, well, at Salinas Road in Pleasant Plain, that's what I meant, Pleasant Plain. And they come to the farmer's market, so you can meet them. It's fantastic. Uh-huh. Fantastic goat's milk cheese that they bring. Unbelievable.
Yes, I have some in my refrigerator right now.
And all organic, too. They really have made an attempt to cater to our community. It's just amazing.
And I mentioned to the farmer who brought that I had grown up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And he said, oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
Yes, only heard about it.
Yes, that is funny, isn't it? They may not be as connected to Lancaster, Pennsylvania as we might, having read about it.
Let's talk about the title of your book a little bit. Super Healthy Kids, A Parent's Guide to Maharishi Ayurveda. How did you choose that title?
Well, actually, Kumita came up with the title. I personally am not especially good at titles, but she came up with the title, and I just really loved it. And I guess that, you know, we don't mean by this supernatural or anything like that. What we mean is just really healthy, and that's the way children, you know, that we it's like our birthright to be healthy. And that is
possible.
And that's
what we want them to be.
That's right. Because what does every every parent want for their child? They want their children to be healthy and to be happy. Mm-hmm. And most times, happiness is based on health. And so, you know, the whole promise is there that if we can you know, structure our day and structure the meals and to follow some of these very simple, easy-to-do guidelines that are mm-hmm. outlined in the book, then we can have a healthier family. And actually, I'm very thrilled with the cover because on the cover are the pictures of many children from Fairfield.
Oh.
So their smiling faces. It was so much fun. We got them all together for a photo shoot, which took a couple hours and was fairly hair-raising for the parents and for me. But somehow or other, it all worked out. And they were the most patient, adorable children. They just sat there and smiled and smiled and smiled oh. until we got a shot that we could use. And Ken West took the photo, and Shepley Hansen designed the cover and the design, inside design. So I'm very grateful to them to making it look just so beautiful and happy, and I'm just very thrilled with that.
Now, I'm wondering if, you know, the fact that you have Maharishi Ayurveda in the title, is that only because it's at MUM? Would you have been able to do that if it had been published somewhere else?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
Or is it a trademark?
It's a trademarked, you know, it's because the idea is that Ayurveda is, you know, there. It's been practiced in India for 5,000 years, but much of its basis was lost. It was becoming very fragmented and maybe just like considered to be some potions or some powders or something that you take kind of like you would take a Western medicine. Whereas the real basis of Ayurveda, as revived by Maharishi and therefore called Maharishi Ayurveda, is the idea that consciousness is at the basis. And so we have techniques for increasing consciousness, for developing consciousness, such as the transcendental meditation technique. But also, consciousness is there at every level of enlivening the mind-body system through the herbs and through the other therapies of Maharishi Ayurveda, massage, all those things. Mm-hmm. They're all involved enlivening consciousness. That's the aim of all of them, because it's consciousness that's at the basis of a healthy mind and body. And when we have developed our consciousness more, then we have more balance there.
I noticed you had a section on what sports that different types of children might be engage in and avoid.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thing, because if your child, for instance, has a lot of heat in their body, it's what we would call a pitta type as far as the three doshas go, it's probably not a good idea for them to be out there in the sun at noontime running around kicking a soccer ball. You know, they could mm-hmm. become extremely overheated mm-hmm. and actually could be unhealthy for them. And so for them, maybe more cooling activities such as
swimming. This is probably what happens to athletes that have real difficulty with heat stroke and so forth.
Exactly. It could be that they actually don't have the right mind-body type. So uh-huh. maybe for them, if it's their you know, profession, then maybe they have to take precautions to balance their heat in their body. And so we talk about that in the book, how to create balance for all the three different body types. If you know you have more heat or your child has more heat, then you can take precautions to feed him foods that are more cooling.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's always ways to create balance. That's the whole point of Maharishi Ayurveda, is just to create more balance.
You're listening to Writers' Voices, and our guest today is Linda Agnes, author of Super Healthy Kids, A Parent's Guide to Maharishi Ayurveda, along with Dr.
Kumada
Reddy. And tell us a little bit about how the collaboration process with Dr. Reddy worked.
Well, that's a really interesting point, because this is really my fourth book that I've done with her, and it's really been smooth and easy. She, you know, as I said before, she had this vision. So totally the inspiration for the book, all the books, was from her, the titles, and she you know, had this whole vision to do it. So, but then as far as developing the books, she, for this particular book, she really gave me a lot of case histories. You'll notice that in the book, I'll be reading a section later, probably, we use the first person pronoun, I, because it refers to her and her practice, the children that she has helped through these natural therapies. And so it's really, for me, it's really fascinating to for me to have written those and to write to read them now, to see how she a child would come in with such amazing problems, and then you know, like maybe couldn't sleep or couldn't think, you know, couldn't think clearly, or you know, had ADHD, or maybe had a terrible skin rash that just nothing could cure, and then through the diet, changing the diet, or maybe with the massage, the child massage, massaging the limbs with oil every morning. And better routine, just was able to turn these things around and completely clear them up. And so there's a lot of stories like that from her own practice. So she contributed all those stories, and that was a major part of the collaboration. She also, you know, we went over she gave me, you know, what she thought should be in the book, and we went over that. But I also had a lot of knowledge because of writing about this for so many years. So right. It was very easy, really, to just put it together. And I was responsible for the writing part.
Now, did she write up the story, the case history stories, or did she tell them to you?
No,
verbally?
We would talk on the phone, and I would record them, and then write, and then transcribe them, and then write them up, and then she would review it. You know,
yeah.
So it was like that, and that was the most kind of specific parts. And then also, she obtained, you know, sort of we described different ways to treat different illnesses in the book. There are two chapters that I think are just incredible. One is about just common childhood diseases like, you know, vomiting or tummy ache or, you know, rashes or something like that that kids get. Flu, you know, kids are always getting the flu or colds and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about that in the book, and we describe different Ayurvedic remedies for that, which I think are extremely valuable to mothers.
Oh, absolutely.
So it tells you how you can handle these kind of things in a very natural way with household items. And so then there's that, and also then another chapter on chronic disease and how that might be handled with Marshi Ayurveda. And both those chapters, we had input from another Vaidya, which is a person who's been trained in Marshi Ayurveda in India, and Marshi Ayurveda Vaidya, and she gave us those kind of specific descriptions of what to do in those cases. And they're not really how-tos because, you know, obviously if a child's sick, they need to go to a doctor. But they do give you general guidelines.
Well, right. Your purpose is not to supplant a pediatrician. So
that is for sure.
This is
that
just
is
to
totally
enhance,
for sure.
enhance the
That's absolutely
whole thing.
Right. And it's very important that we make that clear that you know, Marshi Ayurveda is really a very good complementary medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there are times when every child needs to either pediatrician, and we're never, ever trying to take anyone away from their, you know, their normal medical consultations or whatever. But this is just a very great adjunct because it helps to prevent disease. That's the main point.
Now, the book is structured, you talked about some of the parts of it where you've got several chapters on diet that are grouped together. You have several chapters on combating illness.
Right. Well, they're kind of, I think they're loosely, there's like four areas of health in Marshi Ayurveda that Marshi Ayurveda helps with, and that's the mind and the body and behavior and the environment. And so this is really quite revolutionary when you think about it, because modern medicine, sure, it will treat the body, of course. And now there's more understanding that the mind is also involved in health, and that maybe mm-hmm. even 90% of diseases are caused by stress or mental imbalances. So there's, you know, we know about the mind-body connection now, although 30 years ago that was not so much known, whereas it's been you know, that was definitely considered to be a radical idea 30, mm-hmm. 40 years ago. So that's something that really, you know, this knowledge of Marshi Ayurveda has really brought to the table here in the West.
It's interesting how perceptions change, isn't it? Reality is the same, actually.
That is really, really true. The reality is the same. And this ancient, knowledge of Marshi Ayurveda has really described this situation from the start. You know, it's really mm-hmm. understood, the mind-body connection. And then it also goes on to talk about behavior, which is like the daily routine, or also how to protect the senses. Sensory therapies are very important in Marshi Ayurveda. Like, they have aromatherapy, for instance, is a very important part of it, like mm-hmm. because you can really balance the body through sweet smells or through sour smells, or whatever, you know, you need, whatever your particular mind-body system needs. And so aromatherapy, for instance, or sound therapy, Different kinds of sounds have a different effect on the physiology and can also help with balancing. And all the five senses, touch, taste, everything. So that's in there, and then that's all as part of behavior. And also what we call behavioral rasayanas or behaviors that help promote health, just helping the child to cultivate positive behaviors, like respecting the elders or being honest. And, of course, those are all based on the physiology. We can't just pretend to do those things. We may have all great intentions to do them, but then, we get mad, and then out they go. They fly out the window. So for that, we have... obviously the therapies that actually really transform the mind-body system, such as the transcendental meditation technique, which children can do too. And then the environment. And that includes not only protecting yourself from, say, toxins, which this book, I think, written 10 years ago, was really quite ahead of its time on that, because we have a whole chapter on how to protect your child from environmental toxins. And, of course, now just recently in May, the President's panel on cancer just came out with a very, very strong statement for the very first time, saying that we need to investigate the link between the 800,000 chemicals that are found in our environment and the growth of cancer in children and adults and other diseases as well. So for the first time, the Western world is starting to wake up to this connection, and in a kind of a more formal, I think it's been there for many people's minds, but now the President's panel on cancer, for instance, is starting to recognize this. And so I'm really very happy that we were able to do that in this book.
So Linda, did you have the idea of the structure in mind before you started writing, or did it kind of develop?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, because, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
It's
kind of, and structure is always totally my most difficult point.
Ah.
It's easier in nonfiction than fiction, certainly, but in both genres, I would say, I totally struggle with structure. But I think for this book, it was pretty easy, because we had done the Blissful Baby book. We had done another book called Conquering Chronic Disease. I was sort of used to laying out these principles. And so, we had an outline. We went over the outline together. We agreed on the outline. And then, of course, as I started writing, it changed. So, and for me, with this, writing about Marsha Ayurveda is always so challenging in some ways, because it's such a holistic kind of topic. It's everything. It's all connected. It's not really linear.
And you have to make it linear.
Exactly.
Somehow.
So yeah. It's really hard for me sometimes to figure out what to put first. And of course, we don't want to kind of like snow somebody in the first chapter with all these abstractions. And so that was also one of the things I really wanted to do, was really start from the beginning with some case histories and really start showing rather than telling what this was all about.
And that gets people more engaged in it.
Exactly. And that's, I think, one of the real strengths of this book. It's not dry. It has all these stories.
Right, right. See, it's, or you can just look for what you want and take it out, and, because it's not, you don't have to read the four chapters before to be able to get knowledge from the chapter that you're interested in.
Well, exactly, and I'm glad you brought that out, because really that was another thing that I wanted with this book in terms of the structure, is I wanted it to be more of a guide that you could open at any point and get information and not have to read it in a linear fashion.
Yeah.
And so
it
that
definitely
was a,
is.
Yeah, thank you. And I had one of my friends who's a great mom, Ellen Muehlman, was telling me that for her, even though she knows so much about Marsha Ayurveda and practices it herself, and in fact, I interviewed her for quite a few of the, for some of the stories in the book. There are a lot of Fairfield moms in here. So in addition to Kumudra Reddy's
practice. Will they recognize themselves?
I hope so. It was 10 years ago, so their kids have grown up. They're not like 9 and 10 anymore. but yeah, I hope they'll recognize themselves. And so she was one that I did interview, and she told me that for her even, that opening this up at any place, she's finding new knowledge that she didn't know before, or things that she needed to be reminded of. And so that made me feel really happy.
Well, everybody, brings something to the table, right?
That's right.
And so you can read this book cover to cover, but you could use it as a reference material.
Yes, and the index is a big help in that. The table contents or the index, because for instance, say your kid has a rash or something, you want to see what the book says about that, or flu or something, you can go there right to those spots in the book. And of course, moms, you need that.
And of course, if you if you wanted to read it all the way through, there's so much knowledge in there that you'd have to pick and choose after a bit, because you can't remember everything.
That's right. If you're new to Marsha Ayurveda, it might be a lot just to go through it all at once. So mm-hmm. It's there to go to digest slowly as you go along.
You're listening to Writer's Voices with Monica and Caroline, and our guest today is Linda Agnes, author of Super Healthy Kids, A Parent's Guide to Maharshi Ayurveda. Linda, do you want to share a section from the book with us today?
Sure. I thought that actually for this, maybe I would just start with chapter one. It was hard to figure out what to do, but so maybe, Monica, can you sign me when you think I've coming to the close. So the chapter one is called Why Not Choose the Most Effective Healthcare for Your Child. Of all the gifts you offer your child, nothing is as precious as good health. As a parent, you have the power to guide your child to a lifetime of healthy habits and healthy living. While this is certainly an enormous responsibility, it doesn't have to be a burden. With the natural, simple principles outlined in this book, parents throughout the world are already helping their children grow in health and happiness day by day. Unlike Western medicine, which focuses on crisis intervention and is very good at that, the natural healthcare system presented in this book, called Maharshi Ayurveda, will improve your child's health every day of the year. It will answer those important questions every parent asks. What can I do to keep my child as healthy as possible? What are the right foods for my child to eat? What if my child doesn't like the standard diet? How much exercise does my child need? What if my child is not average, but is his own special case? The fact is, every child is his own special case. In nearly 30 years as a practicing physician, I have never met two children who are exactly alike. Every child needs to be treated as an individual by taking into account his or her own mental, physical, and emotional makeup. Maharshi Ayurveda recognizes that every child has different needs and therefore may require different foods, daily routines, or exercise programs to stay healthy. If this sounds complicated, don't worry. When you start using these natural healthcare principles, your job will actually become easier. For it is my experience that when a child starts to follow his natural rhythms and eats the foods his system needs, he will immediately feel healthier and will spontaneously start making healthier choices. My own story. Let me reassure you by telling my story. When my twin daughters were born, I was a practicing physician in upstate New York. I had been born and raised in India, and my parents relied on many natural remedies from the traditional system of medicine in India, called Ayurveda, while I was growing up. However, my husband and I were trained as medical doctors and thus consulted medical doctors to treat our daughters. After a complicated pregnancy, the twins were born 10 weeks early and were underweight. Because their digestive systems were very weak, they had to remain in the hospital for 6 weeks. I was not able to breastfeed them, and they couldn't tolerate many of the baby formulas that the hospital tried. The girls' immunity was also very weak, and even after they left the hospital, they were constantly sick. They were not able to eat much, and their weight remained low. It was a great challenge for me to follow the pediatrician's recommendations. Antibiotics were repeatedly prescribed for my tiny girls. They even had to take prophylactic antibiotics to prevent ear infections. The antibiotics produced many unwanted side effects: low appetite, further weakening the digestive system, and diarrhea. The girls were generally unhappy, unhealthy, cranky, and poor sleepers. This meant 3 years of sleepless nights for me. Exhausted and fed up with the negative side effects of the prescribed treatments, I decided enough is enough. I turned to my own roots, to the healthcare system of my ancestors. In the late 1980s, I was fortunate to learn about Maharshi Ayurveda, which was available in the West at that time and was so much more comprehensive and complete than the Western medical approach I had been using. It appealed to me, and I started using it immediately. In just a short time, my daughter's health turned around 180 degrees. The simple natural treatments of Maharshi Ayurveda simultaneously built up their immune systems while repairing problem areas. Once their immune systems were restored, they seldom came down with colds or ear infections. Now that they are grown, they recognize that they can prevent health problems with the natural treatments of Maharishi Ayurveda and rarely have to consult a doctor. If they start to feel ill, they know how to quickly restore balance to their bodies. They see clearly that when they take herbal compounds instead of antibiotics, they don't suffer negative side effects. Instead, they feel stronger, healthier, and more energetic. They are extremely healthy and happy and excel in many different sports. Since that time, I have taken the training to become a physician trained in Maharishi Ayurveda. This has been an amazing and gratifying experience, especially when I treat children. Let me tell you the stories of two of my young patients.
Let's hear at least one of them.
Okay. Marta, and the names have been changed to protect the children. Marta was 8 years old when her mother brought her to see me. She was chronically ill, unhappy, and exhausted, with large dark circles under her eyes. Her mother explained that Marta had allergies, seasonal asthma, and a facial tic, which is like an involuntary muscle spasm. I also saw that her head constantly jerked around, her eyes blinked incessantly, and her legs and arms spasmed unexpectedly. Marta's movements annoyed her classmates, which made her self-conscious and caused the movements to increase. She had very few friends. A neurologist had prescribed conventional medications, but these drugs had not helped reduce the movements and had actually created additional side effects, such as constipation, headaches, fatigue, and loss of appetite. In addition, Marta suffered from a severe sleep disorder, which her mother thought could be due to the medication or the allergies. Marta's mother had already made the decision to stop the medications before consulting me. She also said that her daughter was frightened of anyone in a white coat who would just prescribe or perform more blood tests and other diagnostic tests. Right away, I reassured Marta that she was going to be all right. I told her that her health would improve and that we would be using natural and gentle treatments that would not harm her. I tried to explain that we were partners in this game, that we would try to help her get better and that she could help me, that I would help try to help her get better, and that she could help me by taking her herbal preparations and following the instructions I gave her. I said that she would be making herself better. Marta seemed relieved but understandably skeptical. I also told her which foods would help restore balance to her body and taught her how to do a special herbal oil massage called an Abhyanga to soothe and balance her nervous system. Maharishi Ayurveda herbal supplements were recommended to treat her allergies, asthma, digestive weakness, and constipation. And by the way, this is just the first chapter of the book, so we don't go into detail on the which ones were prescribed, but later on we do tell in the case history so that you can learn from that. Within just a few weeks, her mother reported that these treatments had created a remarkable improvement in Marta. She was eating better, sleeping better, and was no longer awakened by asthma attacks in the night. At that point, I started her on herbal preparations to improve her neurological disorders. Over the next few months, Marta steadily improved. The involuntary movements in her legs diminished by 90%. The uncontrollable bobbing of her head and neck was remarkably reduced. Soon it only happened occasionally when she was under stress or tired or when exposed to a situation that made her feel self-conscious. In the process of restoring balance, Marta learned which foods, behaviors, and routines helped correct her imbalances. She learned what triggered health problems and how to prevent them. She learned how to take care of herself. Without realizing it, she started to experience greater self-awareness, understanding her own physiology, and how its biological inner intelligence functioned. She tuned in to her body in a very natural way, without any struggle, without analyzing or rationalizing. 6 years later, Marta is a young teenager. She looks beautiful and seems confident. Her asthma is completely gone. She has not had movements for many years, although she still has an occasional facial tic when under stress. Marta looks forward to living the life of her dreams.
Thank you, Linda. That was Linda Agnes reading from her newly published book, Super Healthy Kids, A Parent's Guide to Maharishi Ayurveda.
Do you you plan to have a reading here or a signing?
Yes, thanks for asking. Tonight at the Art Walk, I'll be having a book signing at the Health and Wholeness store, where the book is also for sale.
Uh-huh.
And so that'll be from 7 to 8:30 tonight at the First Friday's Art Walk. So I hope you can stop by. I made cookies. I made cashew delight cookies and rose petal preserve cookies, and they turned out really good. I can hardly keep myself from eating all of them.
And that's Friday, August 6th. So if you're listening to our rebroadcast on Monday morning, you missed this one, but maybe there'll be another reading.
Yes, we're hoping that Kumita Reddy will come to Fairfield in the fall, or you know, and have a talk,
that'd
book talk,
good,
and
yeah.
signing.
So tonight at what time again?
From 7 to 8:30 at the Health and Wholeness Store,
which is just north of the square.
Right, 103 yeah. North Main.
Yeah, very good.
You know, the fact that you were able to put these things into practice with your own children, it means a great deal, because you're not just, it's just not all theory. It's actual, you actually did this and actually saw results.
Yes, I think that's one of the best things about this book, that mm-hmm. it really speaks from a high level of experience on Dr. Reddy's part, that, you know, she's very comfortable treating children. And also, not only is there the knowledge there, where she has so much, you know, incredible knowledge to give about that specific things to help with different remedies and that, with different illnesses and that, I mean, but also she's has a very warm heart. She's a very warm-hearted person and very open and giving and loving person. And I was really happy, because I felt that that feeling was conveyed in the book, that the voice of the book, I was able to capture her voice, you know, because really she is the practitioner and the expert here, mm-hmm. giving this knowledge.
Sure.
Yeah, you definitely did, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know her, but it certainly sounds like you captured her voice.
Yeah, she was happy yeah. with that. And yeah. I feel like it has a warm, inviting feeling. And it was just such a joyful topic to talk about children and about children becoming healthier. There was a lot of happiness, I think, of my own that went into this book, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that comes out.
Now, Linda, let's talk a little bit about you as a writer, because you're very inspiring to mm-hmm. writers, because you have managed to be a professional writer for quite a few years now, and that's not always an easy thing to do. Did you always know you wanted to be a writer?
Well, I think it kind of had its ups and downs. When I was young, I loved to write, of course. I mean, I think most writers have that kind of, you know, love to read and love to write. So I was the kid who was, like, reading under the covers at night and with my flashlight. And
me too.
You too, yeah.
Yes. Don't tell my mother, though.
Yeah, right. Don't tell mine.
Too late. Too late. Cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, so, you know, and I loved stories, and I loved to write stories. And I had some very inspiring teachers as a child, you know, who really allowed us to write stories and read them to each other, to our classmates. And, you know, that was very inspiring. I was always encouraged to be a writer. But I think back then, the problem was that I only read fiction. And I had this idea sort of like that, well, especially as I got older and knew more economic facts, that it wasn't really very practical, I thought, you know, that I'd have to be a starving artist and that, you know, it would take a long time to get to learn to write fiction, which is actually true, I think, for me anyway. It's a longer learning curve than nonfiction. But I didn't understand the whole world of nonfiction. It, you know, that writing was changing too during those years as we were growing up. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, it wasn't until really I took this program in professional writing here at MUM, Marshy University of Management. Unfortunately, it's not offered anymore as a master's degree, but you can take the same similar courses as an undergraduate. But anyway, I took a master's in professional writing, and we just did all these different kinds of writing. Each course was a different type, like, you know, like book writing or magazine writing or journalism or script writing, you know. And so I tried out all those different things, and somehow by the end, I started to perceive myself as a writer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the most important things in terms of being a successful writer, is you start to perceive yourself that way.
Right.
And I was just so lucky, too. I had so much good luck. Because right away, I did an internship with David Hawthorne, who was working in with Lincoln Norton's company at the time. I did an internship with him, and then later on, he called the program's director, Jim Carpen, and said, "You know, I'd like to help people. I'd like to take one of your students as a kind of under my wing and train them in advertising writing, because I have a background in this, and so many people are asking me for help here in Fairfield, so many businesses." and I'd like to help them, but I don't have the time, so I'd like to train someone else to do that. So he said, how about Linda Agnes?
Oh,
so
wonderful.
I was just like so lucky because David really taught me a lot and got, and he introduced me to clients who remained my client. You know, that was the beginning of my Maharishi Ayurveda work mm-hmm. too. And it just like, I don't know, it's just been a lucky, lucky life. And, you know, it's not like I make a lot of money. I don't think many people make a lot of money unless you're in advertising at a high level and or writing best-selling books. But it's an extremely fulfilling career.
And David's been our guest. It's been a couple of years ago, but he was on mm-hmm. with his book
right,
on
because
Vedic
now
astrology.
That's right, because yeah. now he's written his own book.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, that is nice to hear that he mentored you in that way. That's
yeah, and I think this is a really fantastic community to write. I mean, we have, for one thing, we have such amazing local publications like The Iowa Source is a great literary magazine, and I did most of my first writing there, and it grew from there. And I encourage anyone who wants to be a writer, just start writing locally. We have great opportunities here.
It may not pay well, it may not pay at all, but it gets, you get clips, and it can be a building block.
Exactly. And then also, you know, the main problem with writers is that, you know, you have the ideas, but you don't actually get them out, maybe.
Yeah.
This way you're getting them out. You're communicating. You have mm-hmm. an audience. And now with the World Wide Web as well, it's unbelievable what you can do. So I just say just start writing, and then you'll find how to make money. It'll come to you.
Now, do you have a specific writing routine when you're writing?
Oh, wow. You know, I used to be extremely disciplined, and then the last year or so, last year and a half, I've actually had quite a lot of personal things going on, like with my aging parents, as I was telling you before the program, Monica, that, you know, I'm helping care for my parents who are in Illinois, and so I go there a lot, and I'm caring for them long distance, managing their care. So that's taking up such a huge part of my time that I basically respond mainly just to deadlines now.
Join the club.
But, you know, I used to, but when I was, you know, when I had more time and had more control of my life, I did, you know, really start in the morning. I have to start in the morning if I'm going to really write, because not that anything great happens in the morning, but I mean, I'm usually a little bit, you know, a little sluggish then. But the point is that once I start, then that sets the whole day. If I start the day just doing errands or, you know, making phone calls and run around stuff, it just does not work. So, anyway.
We have a musical background there.
Yeah. I thought I turned it off.
Yeah.
My cell phone.
That's okay. That's
sorry.
Okay.
That's an interesting ringtone.
Thanks. A little calypso or something.
Yeah.
Now, when you're writing... Yeah, it's okay.
It off so
well, I'll ask the next question
okay.
while you're doing
okay,
that.
Okay, thank you.
When you're writing like a book length project like this, it seems like you can write and rewrite and rewrite to get it just perfect. And in this situation, you had the opportunity to do that three times. But how do you know when you're really finished?
How do you know when it's done?
Yeah. This is really hard, you know, because of course. You never feel like your work is perfect or it's really quite reached your vision, you know. So it's mm-hmm. it's always tempting to keep rewriting. But I think that's partly where it actually helps to have been trained as a professional writer and to have deadlines and clients, because there's a point, you know, if you keep rewriting, you'll never deliver it to your client on time. you'll never you know, make enough money to live. You'll starve to death or you'll have to take another job. And so, you know, you learn to just like, just quickly, you know, make it finished and you know, deliver something really good. I never deliver anything that I really don't think is good. I always make sure it's at a certain level of professionalism for sure. But on the other hand, you do learn to write to a certain amount of time, you know, to be practical. And so with this book, you know, it was nice because I was given three opportunities to improve it. And I felt like it, and in this case, I did feel like it needed it I look back.
I think there's some a saying, something like, the perfect is the enemy of the good.
Oh, that's I can really understand that, because you could just take it to extremes. And then there's also that saying, which I don't know, it's been attributed to so many different people. I don't know really who said it, but it's that, you know, art is never finished. It's only abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So I certainly can agree with that.
We did talk a little bit about how you ended up finding a publisher, which seemed to be like the perfect publisher for this particular project. And was working with MUM Press different in any way than working with other publishers that you've worked with?
Well, you know, it was a little different. I really only worked with pretty small presses, so I can't really speak about big presses. I've worked with the University of Iowa Press, which and Iowa State University Press, which both published my book, my Amish book, at different times. And but it was pretty similar. The progression is similar. You know, I was responsible for getting the illustrations together. The illustrations are by Catherine Alders in this book, who is also a Fairfielder, and did beautiful job, I think, capturing the feeling of mother and child, and I think really adds a lot. And so the authors are responsible for that in most nonfiction books. Also the charts. Keith Wegman helped with the charts. And he also did the layout after Shepley did the design. So, the progression was the same. What was different is that I was involved a lot more with this, with the production here, because MUM Press didn't have as big a staff as some of the other publishing houses that I worked with. So I was the managing editor. So, all the different parts were done by different people, but I kind of helped supervise and put it all together.
So did you gain some new skills from that?
Yeah, patience being the main one. and you know, just gratitude for what goes into a book. I guess, to tell you the truth, even though I've been in the book business for all these years, I totally did not understand how much effort goes into production. It's unbelievable. It's a painstaking, you know, every piece is like, has to be looked at over and over again, and you know, it's not something you can skim through. Like with writing, I think that's one of the things I love about writing. Sometimes it can go really, really fast. You know, when you're inspired, it's just like you can sail through. And then other times you're slogging for sure, but you know, you just have to keep going. But this was such attention to detail. It's not exactly the way my mind likes to work, but I learned.
Well, we have about 30 seconds. Do you have any parting words of advice for aspiring writers?
Well, for aspiring writers, I say just stick with it. Write what you enjoy. Just keep writing and find a group to listen to you and an audience.
Great. Well, thank you for being with us again, Linda, on Writers' Voices. That was Linda Agnes, author of Super Healthy Kids, A Parent's Guide to Maharishi Ayurveda. And she is speaking tonight, August 6th, Friday, doing a reading book signing at the Health and Wholeness Store.
Right, more of a book signing than a reading.
More of a book signing, yeah. Okay, great.
But thank you, Monica and Caroline. I appreciate it.
This is perfect.
And
this
we have our quote from Caroline to
this
close
is perfect.
This out.
Remember, the more you know, the less you fear. Right?
That's
there you go.
Right. So there join us next week on Writers' Voices. And if you're listening on Friday, stay tuned for Planet Erstwhile with James Moore. And if you're listening Monday morning, stay tuned for Best of Broadway.
Writers' Voices is hosted, produced, and engineered by Monica Hadley, Caroline Kilborn, and Shemaine Montana. Archives available at KRUUFM.com and writersvoices.com. Writers' Voices is a production of KRUULP 100.1 FM, broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield, Iowa.